It's an ill mind that's still time build and refine. Still getting mine in the nine. Build and refine. Still getting mine in the nine. Build and refine. Still getting mine. Geometric. Nine.
Stylus Chris.
Nine. DJ has one. Nine. Don't touch the dial, you heard.
What's good, everybody? DJ Geometrics here. We are back with a new episode of the 9 at 9 DJ Podcast, the online show with 9 DJs on a roundtable panel discussing today's DJ topics. This show is brought to you by Beat Refinery DJ School app, Bach to Rock. Learn how to mix, scratch, and make music by visiting beatrefinery.com. We have school locations nationwide. We are streaming live right now on Twitch, and tonight is episode number 29. So for the people listening to this episode on the audio podcast, make sure to stop by Monday nights, 9 p.m. East Coast time, and join us whenever we do our live music playlist shows, as well as our live tapings for the 9 at 9 show. Once again, join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/beatrefinery. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can watch our past shows on facebook.com/beatrefinery or youtube.com/beatrefinery. Of course, if you prefer to listen to the audio side of things, this episode will be uploaded this Thursday to Apple, Spotify, wherever you consume and listen to all things podcasts. So make sure to click like, comment, and subscribe. On that note, we have a great lineup of guest DJs here in the panel tonight. This year's wedding season has recently just started. A lot of states are opening up more and allowing event venues to increase their guest capacities for weddings and other events. At the same time, we are getting people more vaccinated and getting this world back to a much safer place. So we decided to invite some of the best wedding DJ professionals in the industry to join us in this panel here tonight and get their insights on what kind of different changes to expect for weddings this year as we are on our way back to being normal, I guess. Hopefully.
What kind of evolutions are in the air?
True. But yeah, as always, let me introduce the rest of my crew, my co-hosts. First up, we got DJ As One.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. 9 at 9. We're live.
Yes, sir. Are you excited? Are you excited for DMC to be back this year? Are we gonna get the exclusive that you're gonna compete again this year?
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
It's okay to plead the fifth.
I'm always excited the battle is coming back around. Yeah, that DMC has a whole new category set change. I'm looking forward to how that comes out. I don't know where I fit in this year. To be honest with you, I've been focused on a lot of other things. So we'll see. Maybe this year is finally the year I might just like say, hey, I might calm down with that. But
if you guys didn't know, man, DMC put out like a big schedule for the whole year, so there's tons of competitions. There's sort of, you know, everything's online.
Say this, I'm interested in the beat juggle category.
There you go. All right, next up we have Sean J.
Yo, I don't know nothing about entering DMC, but I do know I'm wearing the same shirt right now that I was in that intro, so dopeness can see.
Black V-neck.
That's right, because black is beautiful, baby.
Next up, we have our guest co-host for the night, and of course, he's a regular staple. He's part of the crew. So give it up for Doc Bluss.
Hey, what up? Doc
Bluss. Yes. Young blood. And finally, gonna pass the mic off to Stylus Chris.
What's up? What's up, everybody in the world? We've got a really great show planned for you guys tonight. And we are very thankful to have these four special guests joining us, and really appreciate you guys all taking the time out to lend not only a bit of your time and energy, but your insights that are so valuable to so many people. You guys are already pretty much known as educators in one way, shape, or form, all four of you. And being on our show, which is really geared towards helping educate people and helping working DJs, up and coming DJs, It's an honor to have you guys. And we also, you know, want everybody to know that's in the chat that, you know, this show is certainly open to everybody. If you're just getting into learning about what a wedding DJ is, this is kind of jumping you ahead a little bit. Everybody that is on this panel is well beyond just getting started, and they are at the forefront of the industry. And what we're really looking to hear from them is just kind of what they're seeing happening now and moving forward from where they're sitting, where they're at in their careers. And so with that, we're going to run them down in alphabetical order, as we always do. Our first guest is one of the premier destination private event DJs who travels around the world DJing some of the most luxurious events. When he isn't on a plane or behind the deck somewhere, he can be found giving back to the industry by speaking at various industry events, writing for various blogs, publications, and leading his own crowdsourced coaching group recording episodes of his own podcast, The Travel DJ Blend. And it can be found on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. He currently resides in New York City with his wife, Tara, their 11-month-old daughter, Annie, and 6-year-old teacup, Morky Tucker. Let's give it up for our buddy, Brian B.
What's up? Thanks for having me, fellas.
Good. Really glad that you could join us, man. Thank you. All right. Our next guest, this gentleman wears a ton of different hats. Private event, radio, nightlife, DJ, business owner. I think recently he might have been doing something, maybe a pre-show for Saturday Night Live. SEE event group all over. We're going to talk about that later on all the different platforms. He's an industry educator and edit content creator for Direct Music Service, DMS, very iconic record pool. And he really hopes to inspire people in the game to push the creative bar higher, to do more while embracing the artistry of DJing at its core. Love that. He's traveled the planet helping cool people do cool things. Absolutely. Let's give it up for the big dog, Jason Jenai.
What's up? Thank you. What's up? What's up,
brother? Welcome.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm not going to lie. I'm pumped. That's it.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Over and out.
We're extremely excited to have you on the show. Definitely looking forward to hearing some knowledge from you.
Oh, yeah.
And our next guest has been DJing since 2008. He's rocked crowds at hundreds of weddings, events, and clubs all over Israel and Europe, which we can't wait to hear about how that translates differently than here in old America. And today he lives with us in America, in the U.S., and is the founder of the highly talked about, especially in the private event world, Vibo, the music and event planning app for DJs. Let's give it up for Michael Mahler.
Yay, yay, yay.
Michael Mahler.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shout out to Vibo.
Yes, can't wait to dig in a little bit on the things that you've been seeing through your platform.
Awesome.
And last and certainly not least, our next guest is an open format DJ from Connecticut who has emerged as a premier DJ in the Northeast, opening for iconic entertainers including George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, woo, and disco queen Gloria Gaynor. He also supports the DJ community with educational content while partnering with top industry brands like Promo Only, iDJ Now, Digital DJ Tips, and Electro Voice. I've also heard a rumor that she really likes pizza. And we want to find out about that. Let's give it up.
The internet needs to know.
Yeah. I saw.
Yeah.
What?
Shout out to all you guys. Also, happy Teacher Appreciation Day. Thank you guys.
Today is Teacher Appreciation Day, right? Like officially.
Indeed.
Another Appreciation Day? Man, I can't keep up, man.
Appreciation noted.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you all for being here. Let's just jump right in real quick. And quick answer, have you guys started doing gigs again, and when did you start doing? I'm going to take it to Brian first.
July 2020 was when I started back. I had about 3 months off.
Nice. One of the rarest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel.
April 3rd, corporate event. First event since November 2020.
Okay, so you just started hitting it back.
Just started, but man, the floodgates have opened, and I'm ready.
Yes. Michael.
I have to hide underneath the table. I haven't did a gig for two and a half years. I'm planning on getting Rachel to get me a gig in Connecticut at the Pink Russian. What's it called?
The Russian Lady.
Whatever. I'm going to go there.
Nice.
And I have to get back kind of spinning. So I'm building on you, Rachel.
Well, he doesn't need a gig. He doesn't need a gig. He's got like a nice software company that he's running right now.
He's got his hands full.
Once a month, I want to go and do it. The Pink Lady.
You get on that Pink Lady. I'm going to stop over and pick up. I'm going to drive down and get Chris. Then I'm going to drive up and pick up Ryan, and then we're going to kick it over. We're going to take the Duke to the Connecticut. That's what we're going to do. Well,
why do I not remember it? Because
the name. The name of that club has been terrible for me because people assume that I'm a Russian lady. Like, so all the time I get messages, do you speak Russian? People ask me to translate stuff. It's like, no, that's the name of the venue. Like, yeah.
Well, DJ Raquel.
Rachel has so many names that she works at that I don't remember all of them.
Jason, what about you?
We've been really impacted. So the short answer is we've kind of dabbled over the course of last summer. Things started to change a little bit in the Northeast. Then they got locked down again. And then, you know, kind of like on the gray line, you know, it's kind of like a weird time, but things have been happening kind of like on the DL. So we've been dabbling a little bit. I just did some numbers. Last weekend we did like over 40 events. Okay. So like, that's a beautiful thing. But like, that was the busiest weekend that we've had in over a year by far. You know what I mean? Like, things are just, it's like the Wild West right now in the Northeast, because with things changing, people are just trying to get it in because everybody's been so displaced for so long. So along the way, it's been dripping in. Like 2021 has just dripped in the whole time. You know, it's like pop-ups here and there, little things, you know, but not like this past weekend. This was the first weekend we actually rolled, which was good, you know.
And you said 40 events this weekend?
40 weddings. 40 weddings.
40 weddings.
Yeah.
Wow. That's major. So
40 DJs, 40 weddings.
Yeah. Well, they started on Wednesday of last week. So it's just, it was kind of crazy. So like, things are moving right now like I've never seen them in my time as a DJ. So.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a microcosm of the entire way the planet is working right now, where everything was just strangled for so long and things are, these industries are opening up and they're just exploding with the demand, the same way, like they said, chlorine tablets are like out of stock for pools because everybody bought a pool over the pandemic, built a pool, and they're like, you know,
that's going weird.
It's the weirdest things are like microchips for cars sitting, you know, because no one wanted a car and then everybody wanted a new car, you know.
I can't wait for some of these toy hauler, like really cool, like things to start going on sale because people don't want them anymore. I want to like scoop one up for something.
Yeah, you know?
Ooh, that's like, good. Loaded up with speakers.
I've been wanting to scoop like one of those toy haulers for a while now and convert it into a camper though. but that's my hobby. Jason, so for like for the 40 events that you guys did, like for Jersey, what is the guest capacity for all of those events? Is it like a percentage of the venue or like a strict number?
No, the legal limit as of today is 150. Wow. But that doesn't mean that the venues will follow that. And that recently just went up. And then today the governor announced that it can go up to, I think, 250 indoors starting this Friday. And they are now allowing dance floors to open with like some guidance, which is impossible to enforce. So that's like a really good thing for like the Northeast kind of like corridor, because in that it's Jersey, New York, and essentially Connecticut as well. They kind of always work together. And then, you know, Pennsylvania hopefully will be like right after them or in line with them as well. Right. So, you know, these governors work really close together for whatever reason. And Connecticut has been a lot further than us. We've been doing a lot of work up in like the casino properties for like Vibe Dining and stuff like that leading up. They've opened up before us because they have a better vaccination kind of plan than like New Jersey has, but now the numbers are just by volume are changing. You know what I mean?
That's it's interesting. And when you say that they all work together, I would say it's a lot of it, you know, people might live in one state and work in another state, which, you know, negates the whole premise of like, well, you know, the numbers here, like, I know New York was going through a whole thing of like some parts of the street on this side of the street, there was heavy restrictions. You could literally cross the block and there was half the restrictions. And it's like, it just doesn't work. You can't take that approach.
I'll tell you, it's insane. I mean, like Brian and I did an event in New York in a penthouse, like probably like a month ago, I think it was, right? Brian, it was a little while ago. Like, and we were right on 6th Avenue, which in any normal circumstance, it doesn't matter the day of the week it is. At like 5-6 o'clock, you would expect it to be like literally like Loctite, you know, like you can't move, like gridlock. And there's like, I like drove into the city. I'm like ripping around. There's like no one even, I'm like at the light with like one other car. And that's like what the city's like right now. It's insane. And, you know, I hope that this starts to change things again, because if not, like some of the stuff is going to be unrecoverable for a lot of people, businesses, and just like, I guess, parts of life. You know, I hate to say it, but it's like a sad reality of like the devastation that like, I don't think anyone even knows about at this point. Because they're just looking at like, you know, the cool new, you know, announcement that's been done, but they're not looking at like where, like who's actually going to be there to move on. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy time.
Yeah.
Jason, like with the, you mentioned like capacity with guidance. Is that something like, as far as like the dance floors, are they being strict about like keeping everybody seated or not even like going to the dance floor? Cause I know, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, like DC is still, they're still trying to figure out how to go about dance floors.
It's impossible to like, you know, there's a lot of different ways that it's being handled. I can tell you straightforward. We work in some venues and locations where, you know, it's literally like there's a security guard telling people to like sit down or put their mask on or whatever. Then we work at other places that are like, look, we've been through enough already. Like, we don't care. Do whatever you want. Just try not to post on social media. You know, so there's no like one way. It doesn't really matter what the executive order is anymore. I don't think the governor could enforce it. You know, it's unenforceable of what it is. But the guidance is like, yeah, you can't consume food or alcohol if you're not in a seat. You can't take your mask off if you're not in a seat. You're supposed to stay 6 feet away from someone on a dance floor unless they're from your household. So like, imagine like you are with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever, whoever you're with, whatever it is, and you're like, we technically don't live in the same house, we can't like dance within 6 feet of each other. It's so ridiculous, you know.
A middle school dance as an adult, it's like hands above the waist.
Make some room for the Lord.
You'll grind
some room for the Lord. There it is.
I don't mean to be like negative on any of it. It's just been such an interesting journey that like, exactly. I don't think anyone could prepare for, or even like, you know, the framework is different everywhere you go, and it's insane. Like, I don't ask like my couples what their expectations are. I do, of course, but like, my before I even get there, I have to call the venue and be like, what are the rules? Like, what are your rules? Because like, if you're not going to tell these people before they get to that party, because they've been to two parties where like, it's been no holds barred, and then they get to your venue and they can't have that, it like puts everyone into a really challenging and complicated situation. You know what I mean? Because tell someone that's, you know, spending $50,000, $180,000, $200,000 on an event, and then they can't like have a dance floor or what dance or just whatever. And when that's like a major part of the overall day, you know, for a lot of people, you know, it's just very interesting. So very complicated.
A lot, because there's the expectation that if you plan everything to a T, and I think that's a big part of all of us that do mobile events, if you plan everything to a T and just follow the plan, you're going to be good. But to have that expectation and then see that people just kind of fall into old habits, you really have only but so much control. But I'm curious, Rachel, since you're in Connecticut, have you seen the same thing? And I guess the question was asked in the chat, are you seeing full dance floors since you did your first event back in the beginning of April? What was that looking like for you?
So I haven't done a wedding yet. My first wedding will be June 12th. My first event was a corporate event, which was really kind of low key. They still did the mask thing because you also have that, I don't want to say like that public persona, but as like a brand, right? You're a corporation. You kind of have to support what the media is putting forward. And even if you feel that you want to open up and take masks off, you just, people are doing their due diligence and trying to make people comfortable and stuff. So that was still real low key kind of like a weird vibe. I have three couples that, because of these inconsistencies with restrictions and like what Jason was talking about, you know, you can't dance with people that aren't part of your household. And so they're like, you know what? We're just moving stuff to 2022. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to hear the word COVID. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want any chance of any weirdo stuff going on anymore. If I'm paying this kind of money, it's going to be the day that I dreamed of. And if that means I have to wait another year, I'm going to wait another year. So I've moved two couples almost five times. they booked me around 2018, and I'm pushing stuff to 2022 and 2023 because they don't want to deal with it.
Wow, five times.
That is rough.
That is
wow. We're like family now. It's like I talk to you more than you know. It's you do. You build a relationship. You establish a connection with these people, both through empathy, trying to do what's in their best interest, come up with solutions, constant communication. I think that's the biggest thing in all of this, like between the venues and the couple, is just good communication. That's the only way you're gonna survive this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's a testament to how you become successful in this business anyway, and in any kind of service business, you have to have good communication with your clients. I always try to tell my clients, I want to be as comfortable with you that you can tell me what you truly feel, where you can actually not be afraid. Like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to hurt his feelings. Like, go ahead. Like, let's get cool enough that you can be like, yo, I don't want to do that. Or I don't like that song. Or, you know, where sometimes if you're just kind of running through with a client really quickly and you have only talked to them a couple other times and you're like, hey, how about this? And they're like, yeah, that sounds fine. You know, but in their mind, they're like, ugh, you know? And so that communication, that comfortability certainly lends to getting to a place of, you know, working through these serious fires. And speaking of DJ Fire, 1928, you know, that's a great point. You know, you have to stay 6 feet apart at the airport, but then you're 6 inches together on a plane. Where it's like in a restaurant, you got to wear your mask in the restaurant, but then once you get to the table, COVID can't, it doesn't live that far down the seats. It's like COVID can't get down to the table to your drink or anything. It makes you the
table. We still have a curfew. So they opened up nightlife venues and they started out at 10, then they bumped it to 11. Now I think we're at midnight. It's like, so I guess COVID only strikes after. You know, gremlin. I don't know.
After that, you turn into a pumpkin. Everybody knows that.
Gremlins, bro. Gremlins are going to come back.
Pumpkins don't get COVID.
Now, Brian, you started. You were saying that you pretty much had a few month layoff, but you still done gigs. So, explain to us a little bit about that, and then maybe go into how you've seen the progression from some of those early 2020 gigs to now.
Yeah, some of the changes that you've seen as far as like, you know, keeping yourself safe and others safe, and like the way we all do certain things. Like, what are some of the changes you've seen during from beginning of like when you first started DJing July up to now?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that first July gig was the biggest wedding I've ever DJed in my career as far as attendance, which was really interesting.
In July of
2020. And they were supposed to have gotten married, I think, in March or April. I wasn't even on that wedding, to be quite frank with you. There was another DJ, and he was booked in that July for some reason. And so they called me, asked me to come in. This wedding was originally going to be 1,200 people. They brought it down to 800, which was, again, like the biggest wedding I've done. But all of us were, you know, I was nervous. You know, I'm like in a 800 square foot apartment with my, at that time, 1 month old baby wife. And I'm like, I can't afford to get this, but this is a really good paycheck that could really help. You know what I mean? So, and it was like, it was interesting just to do something for that size group. I was really interested to see if, how that would work and all of that. So kudos to the planner who really like, you know, made sure protocols were in place, things I hadn't seen yet. I had to even think about for myself, hey, you know, if I start getting bombarded with requests, what's this going to look like? You know, so I made sure I was on a riser. That was step one, which I would do for 800 people anyways, just to see everything and be comfortable there. But I brought out the drum shield. That was my first, like,
I was going to ask.
Do the plexiglass. let's see if this works, you know? And I just felt like it was at least, it wasn't like a barrier that you like, you're looking through a peephole, you know what I mean? It's like, it's at least, you know, a visually, you know, okay to kind of look through and everything like that. And honestly, you wouldn't even really be able to tell unless you got really, really, really close anyways to see that it was that. And I didn't even do it the whole way. I just kind of did it from like the middle of my like booth area up. So it was like the whole, from the ground up necessarily. And honestly, like one, I don't really get that many requests anyways when I'm actually mixing at a wedding, but this barrier was just enough where like literally like no one came up the entire time and everything like that. They had separate entrances to this. This was a tented on a, and someone's private estate, and it was tented. So every like set of tables had to come in through a certain entrance and exit a certain entrance. So they were trying to keep it that done that way. And then they had this like machine as you went in the in and out of the tent that was like getting rid of particles. Like it was like almost like a vacuum, if you will. So you would kind of go in and out, and I mean it wasn't like
an air blade.
Yeah, totally. And I'm like, I honestly don't know how, if any of that stuff really did anything outside of just make people feel comfortable, to be quite frank. But I was also wondering what the crowd was going to be like too. I'm like, how are people going to be on the dance floor? Is this going to be, you know, well, it was in the South. So obviously if it's a wild, wild West in a sense out that way and anything goes, and people got down and, you know, it was like there was no pandemic even happening. You know, I think you get away with more things obviously at a private estate than if you do it, you know, somewhere else. But yeah, it was interesting, but as it's evolved, ironically, that was like my biggest wedding I'd done. I also, during this pandemic, did the smallest wedding I've ever done, which was 11 people. And 4 hours on a dance floor with 11 people is a whole nother level of preparedness and like also just trying to figure it out, because I'd never done that before. I'm like, literally, they hired me for these 11 people.
Yeah.
And my approach, you know, Chris, we've talked about it before, how like how you play for 200 people, this totally changes for 30. Imagine going down to 11. Like, you're not going to play the same way. You can't. Right? After 800, right? Yeah, it's totally not the same. So I feel like I grew as an artist, as a DJ through this pandemic and learning how to navigate through all of that, you know? And honestly, I think I'm better for it. I think my clients are better for it, because I kind of gone through the fire, so to speak. And kind of walk through it in many different scenarios, because a lot of the properties that I work at, they are regulated by their national chains, right? So like Four Seasons is a great example. Even though it might be open in Arizona, they have to still, you know, abide by what the national, I mean, it's a gray area, to be quite frank, too, is like how they navigate that, but they're going to err on the side of caution. So you're constantly playing this game of like, okay, what's this venue going to be like? What's this crowd going to be like? Every time you don't know. And even the planner, the client themselves, they don't know how people are going to react until we get there, you know? So it's just a little bit of an unknown. Whereas before, you know, it was always kind of an unknown with like, are they being as truthful as they can be with like what they've told me about the crowd? But now you add this other layer of like a pandemic and people getting sick and people knowing other people and how they haven't gotten together with anybody. In a lot of cases, this wedding was the first time that they've gotten together with anybody this whole pandemic. So like even that is another like layer to all of this. So it's just been like so interesting and an education, you know, 20 years plus years in this game, and I'm still learning. Like this thing really rocked me to a core.
Awesome.
So well, I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, you mentioned you DJed for 11 people, like Jason and Rachel. What was the smallest one that you guys DJed for, like since I guess the lockdown?
Rach, go ahead.
The one in November actually wasn't very big. It was only 23 people. It was a really intimate, small, private wedding. It was different, but it was a really good time. And everyone who was there wanted to be there, and they knew that they didn't have a lot of other opportunities to have a good time, so they left everything on the dance floor. Like, they made that event count. We had a great time. We had a great time with that.
I would say for me, it was probably like I did a couple like really intimate like virtual events, which were kind of like awkward and weird, which I would consider a live event. I mean, sure. They were dope for what they are, but like to have like 12 people on a Zoom and you like full throttle just trying to get them in it, you know, at like 4:30 on a Tuesday is kind of like weird. You know what I mean? I'm like, just like, okay, I'm like, I feel like I'm standing at Encore Beach Club in my mind, and I'm like literally looking at my camera like, what the hell? And like, they're just like, you know, like sitting there looking at you like, what? Oh.
Impress me, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, go. Okay. Like, what else? You know, next, you know, or I think I did a wedding in a backyard when it was like illegal to do weddings at that time. I mean, not to totally do it, talk about it publicly, but it was like borderline. And it was like, I think I had about 35 or 38 people there in a backyard. And it was a dope wedding for what it was. It was just, it was interesting. You know, she wore like a $25,000 dress and was dancing in the grass and it rained. And it was like they were so over it. They were like, I don't care. We got married on like the front lawn and my setup was right next to an above ground pool. And there was nothing wrong with that. It was just like, you go from like just total different worlds, you know?
But yeah.
Welcome to Upside Down World, guys.
Yeah. Brian, upside down for real.
And I think that was the hack right there. Like since the lockdown last year, like I mean, for most of my weddings, at least like last year and some this year, is like a lot of the hack was like doing it outdoors. You know, like so I'm lucky that I'm a DJ in Virginia where I DJ for a lot of vineyards and manor houses, so I was fortunate enough to like do, you know, sort of like, you know, like an outdoor event. There was like a loophole somewhere when it came to like outdoor events where we were able to like, you know, cater to a lot of people, some more than it should be. But I mean, going back to
hold on, one quick. Did the 11 guests also include the bride and groom, or would that have been?
No, it included them. That's so nine.
11 guests, including the vendors.
Exactly.
Yeah, the vendors. Yeah,
and there was like a 38 person staff.
Well, yeah, totally, totally. Well, that was the other thing too. A lot of these, like more, I wouldn't say like the weddings where they had bands booked right at one point. They all wanted to still have these weddings happen, but a band would be ridiculous because it's just like for the guest count that these are starting to become. Yeah. So we saw a lot of people wanting to kind of change the feel because they don't want to lose the aspect of like what that was of that live component. So I found that people were just looking for a real experimentation and not just like the DJ piece only because they felt like that would be boring, quote unquote. So it's like, how can we give different layers to this look? Maybe it's a saxophonist for like dinner, but maybe we're switching it up with like maybe two musicians with the DJ for like the dancing portion. So it really became, and it stayed this way. Like I've seen this trajectory continue where people are still trying to make it somewhat more interesting now instead of just like, you know, DJ only or whatever. Like it's been an interesting feel.
Brian, I'm glad you said that because I did a wedding in November that was actually 13 people, so 11 including the bride and groom to get to 13. And what you said that stood out in my mind is it doing that small event made it feel like you grew as an artist. So immediately I was thinking back to that 13-person room and what they ended up actually doing because they went down from like 175 guests that were supposed to fit in like the ballroom venue of a particular vineyard here and actually in just across the Maryland line in Pennsylvania, not far from me. And they ended up doing the party in the manner that they use as like the bridal house before the event takes place. And the entire time my mindset was just, I need to play like the joints that get you moving without realizing like, oh, I don't know this. Like Stylist Chris is really notorious for playing like covers of stuff that people know, but get you dancing without being aware that you're being like led on this journey. And it was one of the most fun events I've ever done with 13 people in the room. So thinking about that, and I think that's a very poignant thing. This is a really great time to take these examples and try to grow as a DJ, grow as a creative person. And I wanted to also parlay this to Michael. And if people aren't familiar with Vibo, one of the features that Vibo users have is you and your team put together a bunch of curated playlists. And that's that gives an opportunity for DJs who might not have a particular specialty in one style of music to reach for those playlists and offer suggestions to their clients. Have you seen any changes in music that people are asking for within that playlist, those playlists that you put together within the app?
That's a really good question. I wish I knew better because it takes a lot to also like process the information that we're getting. But I think what's interesting is actually the extension of those playlists, because what I'm seeing the trends in terms of the DJs that I talk to is that not only do they want the playlists in-house, but the integrations are huge, because as the years progress, the streaming services become part of our lives. It's like an extension of our bodies. You know, we're like, we live music, we're on Twitch, we're on Spotify, Apple Music, and the clients are educated just by listening to an Apple radio show about whatever. They know more than us sometimes. So utilizing not only the playlists, but plugging in the brains of Apple Music and Spotify with a click right into your playlist of the app has been huge. So basically, with a click of a button, you can find anything you want with any genre you want, and then not only add hours, which is like 300 or 400 playlists, but add an infinity amount of knowledge to any client within minutes, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm a big tech nerd, but the important part for everybody there is there's a lot of work that goes into curating this, but now your clients have access to all of the things that we have access to.
I think the biggest difference you're seeing with the micro weddings and having these smaller, and as all of our guests have touched on, you have guests that are coming to it that are just really grateful to be there because of what everybody's been through. They also know that if they're only allowed 50 guests and you're the one of the ones that was selected, that that's also, you know, a really nice gesture, and you almost owe it. You owe it to the bride and groom to party your ass off, like not to just be kind of laid back in the corner. Like, yeah, I'm at this wedding and yeah, it's cool. And I'm texting on my phone. You know, it's like people are really appreciative of being able to have that experience. And to the degree, I think a lot of us as DJs have also, when you're doing 50, 60, 80 weddings a year, plus your other events, and you're doing 300 events in a year, it gets easy to get jaded on all this stuff. And I think even a lot of the DJs have realized that what they get to do is pretty cool. It's a pretty, it's a gift to be able to play music for people and call it your performance. And people are really like, man, this is, I'm going to come and it's 50 people, but I'm going to crush this thing. And you're also getting the guests are their tight knit crew. So a lot of times they're going to have the same kind of musical taste, or they're like, yeah, we all go to these, you know, we go to Coachella together every year, or we go to bigger EDM festivals when that was a big thing. And so people have a little bit more common thread to discover deeper music, which as for us as DJs makes it a lot more fun to be there when you're not just playing the same, you know, Rolodex of hits that people play. And that's where I think Vibo is really cool, because that allows you to communicate with your guests and your bride and groom and say, hey, you know, like let's really
dig a little bit deeper here.
That music and where does that special place live that you know is not the obvious, but like those certain songs, those little pillars of the night that you would never expect are gonna hit, and they hit so hard. And it's like a random song like Annie Lennox, Walking on Broken Glass. or something crazy like there was L. Henderson, Give Up the Ghost. Like, I wouldn't have known that's – I'm not going to play that at a wedding. And I played that and watched 150 people screaming at the top of their lungs. And you're like, okay. But it was like a sorority song, you know?
Yeah, I played what seemed to me was like a Bruce Springsteen B-side. But then again, maybe I'm just not the biggest Boss fan. But yeah
you haven't been to a Bruce concert. There's no B.
There's no B side.
No B side.
I like what Beans365 says. You know, he said that the weddings he's done, there's no dancing allowed, but it was neat to find those songs again that bring energy but not dance energy. And I really think a lot of DJs during this whole pandemic, especially the ones DJing on Twitch, has sort of like found a good vibe, I guess. You know, like a lot of mix sets are like really like into that whole vibe, you know, mentality. But have, you know, Brian, Rachel, and Jason, have you found yourselves playing out of the normal, you know, from the gigs that you guys has done? Like, especially like Jason and Brian, you guys probably have done Twitch or spun, you know, mixed online. I mean, has some of the stuff that you've done online translated to your gigs as of late?
You go, Jay.
I would say 100%. I mean, like, the thing that, like, I think a lot of DJs, you know, like, the people that miss kind of the wave of jumping into the Twitch game, I think, you know, it really, like, opened up a lot of things for a lot of different people, you know. And I like Twitch because, like, you can, you know, like, I was feeling like Moomba vibes for, like, you know, the month of October. So, like, every Tuesday, I was, like, going on and ripping for, like, 2 hours, like, Moombaton stuff, right? Like, and I was, like, finding stuff I didn't even know I had because I watched Four Color Zach, and I'm like, yo, I forgot about this song. Like, what? And he might play the track for, like, 30 seconds, but it inspired me to, like, think about that track, which then made it into a session, which then made it at an event or was put into, like, a radio show, or maybe I, like, redid it and put it on DMS or, like, whatever, just because, like, I was present and seeing that, you know? So, like, I think Twitch definitely has inspired, like, my performance game for sure. And it's also, like, really, I've tried to, like, make it inclusive for, like, my family at SCE, where, like, my tribe, I want everyone to be watching or studying or listening or observing some of these people, because this platform has allowed you to, like, literally attend a Jazzy Jeff, you know, lunchtime, you know, mix set while you're on your phone, you know, driving, you know what I mean? It's insane. Like, so I feel like Twitch, from, you know, a lot of different ways, has influenced me from a performance perspective, because, you know, you hear stuff happening. You watch, like, I don't know, there's so many good people to watch. Watch Scene, Full Throttle, all day, you know, for 3 hours of just dropping bombs left and right. And you're like, I forgot about that from 2013. And, like, people are going crazy. Conflict just posted something about that. You know, it was like a whatever, Jay Sean track or whatever. Like, it was like, you know, like, people are going crazy for 2013. You know what I mean? And, like, it's just insane right now. So
someone has to say it. Is it Sean Jay or Jay Sean?
I mean, Jay Sean hit me on Instagram once. I'm just saying.
Nice.
What about you, Brian?
Well, I kind of did not get on the Twitch train as far as performance, just because that was, like, right when I was still doing, like, the Instagram lives, when that was, like, hot for a quick minute early on. And then we had this baby, and that, like, took up my life as far as, like, not trying to let her letting her sleep, actually. So I couldn't get on to do it in 800 square feet. Just impossible. So, but to Jason's point, I was on Twitch all the time watching other DJs, where I would never, I'd be working. I'd be, like, you know, not able to catch some of these folks. So to his point, you know, I feel like my game has gone up a ton just watching these other DJs, monsters in the game, who I just wouldn't have gotten a chance to watch, and, you know, curated music differently. I remember just, like, on a Sunday morning, like, watching this guy, I forgot his name off the top of my head, but he's somebody in Brooklyn here who's, like, playing, like, you know, Sunday brunch jazz vibes. And I'm just, like, watching him for 2 hours, you know, just, I don't know half the tracks he's playing, but I loved him. I was like, I don't know where I'm going to use this, but I would just have Shazam on auto, and it would just, like, just always just, like, you know, taking these tracks down for me to have in my library for later. So I love the platform. I hope it stays viable as we go on from this pandemic, you know?
Yeah. Rachel, how about you? Where do you think your music selections will change from all the, you know, variances of what's happening?
So I didn't jump on the Twitch chain train only because, so I still work, like, a 9-to-5. A lot of people don't know that, but I don't DJ full time. So I still was having to do things, and I couldn't put in, like, the consistent schedule to get the following and stuff. But I did pivot, and I've been hitting radio shows across the country, like, something serious. On Friday, I'm on, like, 9 different stations, from Florida to California. It's awesome, and I love it. So it's forced me to keep my mixing skills real, real sharp. So as soon as things are ready to open up, like, I'm ready to go. I'm energized. I feel creative and motivated, both from tuning into people on Twitch. Like you said, you're able to hear people you never would have had a chance to ever tune into, just to kind of hear what they do. The other thing that felt really inspiring, and where I just have to, like, you know, bow down to the community, was not only the hustle, but the pivot and how these people enhance their production levels. Like there's people, you know, in this crap ass garage with a green bed sheet to 3 weeks later, they had like, you know, high def cameras with 20 different angles, and they finally figured out how the hell to use a music interface so it didn't sound like hot trash. And like they figured it out quick, and it just was really impressive to just see the production value of these streams go up. And now it's like, man, like I'm impressed. Just to like jump on the tech, figure it out, right, wrong, or indifferent, and just put on a damn good show. So like, bravo to like, you know, the hustle that I saw out there. I respected it.
Yeah, and DJs are always, I think, the one, you know, recurring theme on most successful DJs is they're hustlers. They work hard. They always are looking to innovate and create. And as Gio likes to say, he's like, yo, if you don't know how to market and you're a business person, you're not a business person. Like, it's marketing is something that is so important, and if you don't know how to do it, you need to find somebody to do it for you. And you know, and some of the things that I see, like especially Jason, the, you know, some of the events that you post on your Instagram and the sheer volume through your company SEE and the ability to pull in so many different vendors into your and offerings into your company, which, you know, we used to, on a previous episode, we were talking about how a lot of DJs try to do that, and they do it half-assed, and they're like, yeah, I can do a photo booth and lights and all this stuff, but then like while they're trying to DJ, one light's like flashing on and off and all kirked out, and then the photo booth is misfiring, and it's like, if you're gonna take on all these different hats, you have to be able to have the structure to employ other people within it.
Well, you have to have a good team too.
Yeah.
The logistics of putting all that together with a good team.
And so the question that I wanted to lead into with that and also bounce it around to everybody is like, do you think, you know, that you'll see people coming more to the DJ for more of these services, like the one-stop shop, or do you think that it's going to really up the game of the guys like yourself and your company and kind of separate even more?
Well, I mean, first off, I appreciate the nod and the kind of acknowledgement for like the hustle that goes on at SCE. I mean, we work really like uncomfortably hard at making things come together the way that it comes, you know, like, my goal with the business is to inspire people to dream bigger. And my goal as a person is to push people to like where they want to be and like where their goals are, to help like my crew obtain what they want. And, you know, I want to show that you can do production based boutique events at scale, you know, if you have the right mindset and tribe around you. And that's really like what SCE is about. So I think, you know, we are a little bit different. I mean, a million people can offer a million different things, but it doesn't mean the same way, right? It's just like any, you know, all 9 DJs on this, you know, Brady Bunch screen that we have here on StreamYard, you can give everyone the same 10 titles and artists of tracks, and we all are going to interpret that our own way, which could line up to be the same, but most likely I'd bet anything to say it will all be different, you know, in everyone's own approach, technique, and just like mind unraveling this stuff, you know. I think with the circumstances of the world that we're in right now, I think people are in search of excellence. And I think that although our industry has been like traumatically impacted as a negative, there are so many other industries that have thrived and have like really taken things to the next level. So like, there is an abundance to have an event for, to have big events from some people. And then on the other hand, you know, like I think, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, just because people are having smaller events, it doesn't mean that they're less technical or less complex. As a matter of fact, like I would go on record saying that the universe of small events that I personally see, whether it's 30 people or 70 people or 100 people in comparison to what would have been 300 or 400 or greater, is that these couples now have the ability to like almost like ultra personalize the experience to like the extreme. Instead of spending, you know, $3 on, you know, on an invitation per person or whatever the rate is, now they're spending like $30 a person on like a gift for them to come out with that's like tailored to them, or they're creating an experience at the wedding that like fits perfectly, or maybe they're not doing it in like the terms of a gift, but they're spending that money to dress up that tent that they're in to make it look like it belongs on the cover of, you know, whatever magazine or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like people are really looking to make like it experiential. I think that's like where the industry, in my mind, is where the industry is moving at like the production, you know, level for events. At SCE, we do events that are music only, and then we do events that are so technically advanced that I don't really know a lot of people that could handle them, you know, and it's really just about having the right people to kind of handle the tech, the production, the organization, and then obviously the performance part of it at one time. You know what I mean? For me, we're an entertainment focused company. So like, we don't do like photos and video and all that kind of stuff. Although we offer streaming because we learned it on Twitch and how to kind of like master the way you use lighting and the tech. We can now offer that to our couples or clients or whatever, but it's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't do cinema, right? Like, so it's totally, yeah. You know, I don't know if that answers the question or I made it more complex than it needed to be, but
no, it's good. What's your take, Brian?
No, I definitely think that the way that people are perceiving like the value piece is changing. Like if they are short on money, because there are some people who are short, you know, every dollar counts, right? So like the excellence factor is going to be expected for that. And then there's other people who they weren't affected, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, and they just want to make sure that they have something completely, like the money isn't a factor, but they want it so epic and they want it to look different and feel different that they're still, the excellence is still there on both sides, right? So it doesn't really matter where you are on the money side. It's more or less just like, you better be bringing it everybody, you know. And if people, it's funny, I saw somebody like the other day on Facebook, someone was like, hey, I haven't been listening to music the entire pandemic. What songs are hot? And I'm just looking at myself like,
oh, man.
Oh, wait, God. What? Like, what are we doing?
This is a DJ?
Like, yeah. This is like, yeah, a DJ group was like, hey, can you guys tell me? Like, and I'm just like, dude, like, you should be putting, I mean, this was like, there's no excuse not to be putting in the work. You know, like, there was no excuse not to put in the work when there was a, you know, a slowdown, like, in what was happening. And people, they're not going to make it. They will not make it because the other people have passed them by. So hopefully everybody can just put in that work.
Yeah. And Rachel, how about yourself?
So I've noticed kind of like a split. So I totally am going to piggyback off of Brian and Jason, where events are either becoming hyper customized, super tailored, because it's just such an intimate space. They have more resources to allocate to fewer people, and they're trying to make the most out of that experience. So they want to go bigger, better, more elaborate, just to make up for what they had to give up in the first place. But then I have the other couples that are like, we've been through so much. We don't give to you know what about any of the flash and you know glam. We just want people to have a good time, feel good, have great music, few cocktails, and just come be with us and be in the moment. And I don't care if it pours, I don't care if the food doesn't show up. They're like, at this point, we just want to do this. We're over it. We want to have a good time. And they've just kind of like let all control go. It's kind of like, whatever this is going to be, it's going to be, and let's just rock it. The bride that I have on the 12th, that's kind of her approach now. She goes, I love you. I hired you. We've been through hell. I trust you. I don't want to plan anymore. Don't ask me any more questions. I don't want any more follow up. Just show up, do what I hired you to do, and let's just have a good time. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And
that's so real.
Michael, I'm curious from your end, from being with, you know, the app, have you seen people request, you know, or ask, inquire about certain services or new features that due to the pandemic, due to what people have seen happen? Has there been any kind of things that stand out to you that you've developed in this?
Yeah, have you added any like pandemic related features, I guess. I guess that's
what. So before I answer, I just want to give a shout out to Sam and Ray in the chat. But yeah, it's interesting. I had a conversation with Brian B when the pandemic hit, and he was asking me, I think you were interviewing me for one of your podcasts, and he asked me, what are you going to change? And I told him the answer was, we're not really going to change anything. We're going to use the time, kind of like when you're DJing, you show up and everybody sees what you're playing, but they don't know what you're doing behind the scenes. You're prepping for like days, you're getting all the... So that's what we were doing during the pandemic. I told Brian, we're not changing anything. It's going to end. And when it ends, we're going to have tools that are better than ever before. And now now that's what's happening, because, things are booming back. People don't have time. So the DJs, I got Brian to use the scanner first time last week.
It will change your life, Brian. I'm telling you, it will change your life.
Brian Geo uses it.
I'm a proud user of Vivo, so that's been, I guess,
Vivo is,
you've been on for a long, you've been telling me about Vivo for a long time.
I guess I'm like one of the first users. But yeah, I mean, as far as like a time saver, man, like it definitely helps save time as far as like planning your music, and it gives a good tool that your clients and customers can use to really help customize their music playlist and an event. You know, it's like, it's such a very helpful application, and I always recommend it to anybody, especially if they're looking to improve their business. That's an app that you can easily add to your into your workflow, and it's a good selling point too. You know, as I've sold a lot as far as like, letting my clients know, I have this app, you can use it, it helps with the music, and they're like so impressed by it. It's like, wow, okay.
I think this is a good opportunity really quickly. Michael, if you wouldn't mind, for anybody who's not familiar with how Vibo 1.0 worked or 2.0 works now, can you kind of give a rundown of what we're talking about when we say like the scanner and generally what the process is for using Vibo?
Yes, please.
Sure, but I'm having a technical issue. These are my earphones I used to DJ with back in the day, and I haven't used them for 2.5 years. And now I was like, uh-oh, I'm getting in a room with 8 DJs working. I have to look cool. So I can barely hear you guys. I'm stressed out. And I'm
Michael, you can just wear that and have like iPhone earbuds like on the
Yes. Do you still believe me? I used to be a DJ.
I'll hold you to your word, sir.
Okay, let me switch for a second, and then you'll have to repeat the question because I can barely hear anything.
You're gonna need to update that shirt though.
You look awesome though,
on the shirt.
Yeah.
Dude, you look great.
Okay, give me a second.
Who else uses Vivo? Rachel, use it, Brian.
Day one, Rachel. Game changer.
Nice. Yes. A million times yes.
Can you still hear me?
Hanging around.
Yes, yes, we can.
Yes. I might have to get on.
Oh, this is so much better, guys.
All right, this is perfect.
So repeat everything you said in the last hour. I didn't hear a thing.
Start the show over.
Rewind, Selecta. All right, so while you were transitioning the headphones over, this is a perfect opportunity. As one said, I might have to get on this Vibo thing. And we were talking about the scanner earlier and how that is a convenience feature. Huge time saver. I'm going to say that one more time. Huge time saver. You don't have time to be wasting with all the extra stuff. Can you run people who are not familiar with Vibo and how the scanner works and just generally the app works, what that process looks like for the DJs?
Of course. So basically what we're trying to do is take the workflow that we're used to, whether it be a different planning tool or pen and paper or our PDF, and turn it into like, my background is, I used to be, not everybody knows this about me, but I used to be a commander of a warship back in Israel.
Whoa.
Yeah, not everyone knows about it. And when I was
you
there,
can't
I was
get
dreaming.
Your headphones to work.
I know. I had guys. I had soldiers that would tell me what to do. And at the end of my career, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I have to be a DJ. I can't do this anymore. I started spinning on the. There's these windows that spin against the rain when you're going into the rain. I'd start spinning on the windows. I was going crazy. Anyway, cut a long story short, we had a command center. Okay, and as I was in the Army for years, almost more than 7 years, I saw things evolving, you know, all these technologies. And we went from like having a gun that you had to like with the waves kind of try and hit the people like when we were practicing to this stabilized thing with a that would do it for us. And it did the same thing and we used it, but it was a different technology. So kind of bringing that into the DJ world, instead of using pen and paper, the same concept we're bringing into the digital world and using tools that help us become more creative and give better service. So kind of coming from there, how does it work? We're just taking all the information and putting it into an app that's easy to use for the clients, that's connected to where they're at, which means Spotify and Apple Music coming in a month. I said that 3 months ago and people recorded me, but I'm hoping really it is coming in a month. And recommendations and their friends and everybody can and everybody could just do it easily on the fly. They pop it up, they Shazam, they see it in the app because the Shazam is connected to their Spotify, so everything's connected. And then take all that information and take it out to everything we're used to. So that's a PDF, which is easy to read at the event. That's finding the tracks that we have using the scanner, meaning it'll actually look for what you have on your machine, on your DJ computer, and match what the clients wanted to the remixes that we actually play. And with Vibo 2.0, it actually knows what we played on Virtual DJ or Serato or other software, so it's much more accurate. So it'll build the playlist faster so we can listen to the songs and get used to their music and prepare, not just find the songs. And then the third output is streaming. So as all the world is moving to streaming, we can already stream on Serato or other, you know, if you're using Virtual DJ, we got BeatSource coming into the play. And then when you export the songs, not only to your DJ software, your own tracks and the PDF, but also to Spotify, you can use other services to convert that into anything you want. So basically, there's no excuses to really preparing and coming, you know, with all the requests. Not to say we're playing anything. I'm not trying to change. A lot of people say, what? You know, we're going to get... No, we're just doing the same thing, but smart. And we have that command center that works for us and gives us all the information that we need to be creative and get every event, bring in three more events, because you're really... The vision, this is the last thing I'll say, the vision for the company is to just take the DJs to the next level and just make us even more creative, help us make the crowds happier by just being better DJs. And I think with 2.0, that's what we're able to achieve.
And you mentioned you guys are adding in next month or in a few months, Spotify integration as well as Apple Music integration. Because right now, right, I mean, from what my understanding, a lot of the music comes from like YouTube, at least on my.
Right. The import is now automatic from Spotify.
Nice. We're
adding Apple Music import automatic as well.
Nice. Okay.
But the database is no longer YouTube. So the way the technology works is we have our own database. And when you search for a song, it's searching through our own database. But if it can't find it, it'll look through other ones. And once it's added, it builds a profile for the song. So it's going to say this name, you can find it. If you're a Spotify user, fine. You like to use YouTube, that's okay. We welcome all the streaming services. So if that makes sense, it's just the name is ours. And then we point at other services.
Awesome. Nice, nice. That's awesome to hear. Let's talk about like I mentioned before, like, you know, that was like, you know, if for a lot of DJs, you know, adding Vibo to your business can help improve it. Cause like, at some parts of it, it's also like a CRM, you know, as far as like, you know, keeping tabs with all your events and customers and of course, like sending that event planner out to your clients on via the app, and they'll be able to help, you know, add all the information, all the details from their events or weddings that you need to know as a DJ. For let's start with Jason. What's probably like one thing you and your company did to improve business, you know, during this whole pandemic?
Soon as like the day after the shutdown, or the day of the shutdown, I tackled revamping and just updating internal processes regarding automation, and really focused in on Event Planner, which I think is by far the best software that's available to like the DJ universe when you're doing mid or larger style events at scale, right? So we went through and I worked with shout out to Eric Massengale. He helped me with a lot of stuff and just went through and tried to figure out, if we're not going to be in the office, how can I continue to like run my business with, you know, communications if like, you know, we're not able to like physically be in front of people or to whatever. So like literally it was just like hunker down. And the biggest kind of like project on my plate was, you know, revamping and really dialing into like the automation capabilities of that platform. And then that was followed by like a complete rebuild of our entire website from the ground up. That was like SMO and SEO, very like targeted, so that, you know, we're going to improve our rankings now. I'm going to use this time to like double down on like things that are going to create opportunities as we build out of it. So those are like two things that I did that I think, you know, were very smart. And if you want a third, it was just like dial in, you know, costs, right? Like look at every single dollar that was going out from the business and like figure out, is it nice to have? Do we need it? Or is it like critical in order for the business to function, and just get rid of whatever is like excessive or wasteful? You know what I mean?
Trimming the fat.
Big time. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. During this pandemic, that's every single, you know, business, you know, single op or multi op should have done an audit.
Should have.
As far as like, you know, as far as finances and all the expenses that you pay. But what about you, Brian? What's something that you've improved on during the for the business?
Yeah, so we I operate like a mid-level brand as well that's kind of in the Florida market. And so we basically completely flipped the business model 100%. We had always trained from the ground up basically in that market. Guys who and ladies who had never DJed before, kind of taking them through the training and all of that, but we switched it to more of an agency style approach and just thought, you know what, we're going to bring in some ringers. We're going to just go that approach, raise our rates, and just like not have to worry about the man hours that, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with training from the ground up, by the way. I did it for years, so I totally see the value in it, but we just thought we'd switch it. So we had to recreate our website to reflect that and fix all of that. All of our marketing and stuff needed to be adjusted to hit that kind of new market, if you will. So that was big. And then similar to Jason, we went through our CRM as well and just like made sure it cleaned it all up. I mean, it's all the spring cleaning, right? That you just never have time to do. And normally this would have been stuff. I mean, we would have been in season, you know, when all this hit and this was still been back burner. So I was like, this is the time to go through it and clean it all up, because when we do get back, it's going to be gangbusters. And sure enough, it's been that way. So I'm just glad that we got a chance to get through all of that. So those would be two biggies for us, was the CRM side and then also just the revamp of the entire mid-level brand.
Rachel. What about you, Rachel?
So as a solo op, I obviously have kind of like a different approach and different, you know, business model to worry about here. But I would say my biggest business shift was accountability and cutting out the excuses and things that I said that I never had time before. I put myself through pretty much like a DJ boot camp. Started out with cleaning out the garage, getting rid of all the crap that I haven't used in the past year. So old lighting, stupid, ugly poles, and just I did like a complete gear cleanse, sold it just to get rid of it. And then once I had everything out of the garage, I actually set up this like really dope block party just to test everything out, dust off the cobwebs. And then as I put things away, I made sure all the wires were in order. I cleaned everything. I did gear maintenance. And then like this boot camp that I did, I kind of put myself through, all right now this happens, what are you going to do? This happens, what are you going to do? So that, you know, when things opened up, I would feel confident in any situation. I could troubleshoot my gear. How many times do people buy something and all they do is turn it on, you know, they hit play, they know a couple things in here, but they don't dive into menus. They don't understand how to update things. They don't really dive into the gear. And I'm kind of a gearhead. Everybody knows that, you know, that's kind of the focus of my educational content. So like, I just wanted to feel confident with my stuff, clean out the crap. And also, stay visible. Right. So I actually don't have a website, and I know people think I'm crazy, but all my book work is from word of mouth, referrals, and social media, and it's worked fine for me. So I had to find a way to stay visible, right? If I'm not able to gig log and I'm not able to, you know, be out there working and stuff, like, how am I going to make sure people don't forget about me when things open up? So that's where I really hit, you know, my YouTube channel hard. I really learned how to operate Instagram. I hit those radio shows, you know, making sure people were able to hear me weekly, and just did what I could just to remain relevant and dialed in and survive this thing, you know?
Rachel, one thing that I'm glad you brought up your YouTube channel that you emphasize, I'd like to ask if you can go in a little bit more detail, because you put a great video together talking about troubleshooting and preparing for the worst case scenarios. You had a situation where a laptop died on you in a nightclub, right?
Oh, yes. I know the exact video you're talking about. Yeah. So, because 2020, right? Like, everything bad happens in 2020. It was about 3 weeks before the pandemic hit. I was at the Russian lady. I mean, the pink lady.
That was before we started recording this.
And I was in the club room. It was just like the worst thing ever. It was literally like the stroke of midnight, peak hour, rocking out, having the time of my life. And I just got this brand new Razer laptop, spent like crazy money on it. And out of nowhere, the music just stops. And for a second, it almost is like, you know, what's going on? Huh? And I'm looking around, and then I kind of look up and I go, oh my God. I got the blue screen of death, you know, with the little window sad face. And I go, like, what is happening right now? Of course, it felt like an hour, but I'd say I had my thumb drive pulled out, plugged into my MCX 8000, which is a standalone unit. It was kind of like one of the first of its kind. They've come a long way now, but it still does the job. Plugged in my thumb drive, and probably within, I'd say, 13 to maybe 25 seconds, I had some jams on. Really wasn't that big of a deal. I died a little bit, but that reemphasized to me, man, not only do you have to have a plan B, but you have to feel comfortable with that plan B. It's one thing to have other options, but if you don't feel comfortable using it, it's not really a good backup plan. And I will, full all honesty, my DJ software is a crutch. Like, I love Virtual DJ. I love the features. I've been using it for almost 18 years. You know, I can use Serato. I feel a DJ should be able to play on anything, but you have your comfort zone, right? And then when I was going through that gig, I was sweating. I pulled it off. People rocked out. They didn't know a difference, but I didn't like how uncomfortable I felt using standalone on the 8000. So as part of my DJ boot camp, that was another thing that I put myself through over 2020. It's like, if you're going to use this, you better feel good with it, because you never know when something like that's going to happen. So backups, but also feel good about those backups.
That's good advice.
Nice.
Really good advice.
And that controller you were using was a Denon, right?
Yeah, the Denon MCX 8000.
Is that what Little Rock's using now on his Twitch?
I think so. I think
he got the
Prime Go.
That's what it is. The battery powered one.
I love those things. Those are awesome.
The one where he's like DJing like outside anywhere, like walking around. Walking around with a little DJ for food or something.
He's literally walking around Rockville DJing.
Well, that's awesome, Rachel. Yeah, thank you for sharing those backup.
Speaking of uncomfortableness, and Rachel was speaking on that earlier. Let's talk about how you guys have handled postponements and cancellations. So, Brian, like, what are some of the challenges that you've found in, you know, with your contract as well as, like, you know, have you treated cancellation of postponements the same as you would, like, say, before the pandemic, or were you playing nicey nice in the beginning? And
yeah, you know, it's funny you ask about it, because it's I feel like I've gotten better I'll say that. Let's start there, I guess, in that whole conversation. Because quite honestly, we didn't get a whole lot of cancellations before. We didn't get a whole lot of postponements, maybe like one a year, you know, yeah. or two. So, you know, if I'm being vulnerable with you, like our contract wasn't as buttoned up as it needed to be, to be honest, you know.
This is the longest conversation we had in the
That is a big conversation that a lot of DJs have had.
Yeah, so
we talked about this one.
Yeah, so you know, we went through the process and cleaned it up, but there was a lot of uncomfortable conversations, and in a lot of cases, you know, like we try to do right by the client. That's always our goal, you know. Even if I'd rather be the bad guy on the front end with like the contract and come in on the, as the nice guy and say, "Hey, I know our contract states this, but can we? Well, you know, this is what we can do." So, we needed to button it up more because it was more like we were the nice guy on the front end, unfortunately, contractually. And we ended up having to be the bad guy in some cases on the back end. But I mean, now we've flipped it. We're a little bit more strict on what we say that we're going to do. And it's for their protection, too. You know, I don't think we do it just for our own, but for them. And the other thing, too, is I feel like now, like, we've changed the focus of, like, our contract. It used to be just, like, we led with like the event, you know what I mean? Like, okay, hey, you're hiring us for the event. You're hiring us for this date. And that's to us, the byproduct of hiring the artist, right? Is the event. So now when they hire us, we're like, you're hiring the artist. You're not hiring us necessarily for the date only. And we made the focus, the art and not the date.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That's and awesome.
It's really helped us because now we say, hey, you know, part of what you're paying us for is all of the development that we're having as we're going through this pandemic right now. Right. So like we're putting in the work, you're paying us to be the artist that we're going to be on your day instead of saying, hey, I'm paying for this amount of time for you to be here on this date. It's not about inventory, although that's part of it. It's more about the artist and the art. And we've really led with that. And that's been a game changer. So we really don't have those conversations as much.
Good place to be.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, that must be a nightmare for you. With
all those events and
now, you must have that outsourced, or at least someone in your company, or do you have to take those calls all yourself?
No. Well, great. I'm thankful that I have some infrastructure. I have some infrastructure left to help me with, like,
someone
for that. You know, dealing with stuff, but. I do handle the, like, I guess the escalation events. You know, to date, we've moved, postponed, or canceled over 1,500 weddings, over 1,600 weddings, to be honest with you. So, you know, not to go into dollars and cents or, like, impact to, like, lives, but there's a lot that, you know, that touches, right? It's far greater than just the company name or me or that host. There's teams of people that this all impacts in different ways, whether it be a contracted musician, it could be, you know, the support team members that are dependent on, you know, working those two events every week for that host or that talent, you know, option or that program lighting or do whatever. So I think when this all happened, it was only supposed to be for 2 weeks, right? Or maybe 30 days, or then it was 45 days, and then it was like 3 months. But like right from the beginning, I remember having this call with my office team, and I was like, I don't really care what our contract says. Like, I'm not going to allow the circumstances that we can't even control at this point to ruin, you know, like, you know, 15 years of incredibly hard work. I mean, like, we have thousands of Wedding Wire reviews. We have thousands, or just hit 1,000 reviews on The Knot. So like in total, there's probably 6,000 reviews between Wedding Wire, The Knot, and Google for what I'm super proud of. Up until, you know, maybe like 4 years ago, there was only six of us that did events, you know, wedding events for SCE, you know, like as a full-time thing. So we've worked superhuman hard at building this brand and the reputation and all the stuff that is associated with it. And I wasn't going to let this pandemic break that or me. So I kind of just said, as long as we have the talent available, we'll do whatever we can to save that event. Cause I never want to be the person that couple or that person or that company or that client is talking about on social media that like stole their deposit or just didn't do the right thing. So I kind of just said, I don't care what the contract says, but from a human perspective, we didn't start this. It wasn't our fault, nor was it their fault. There wasn't like either of us could control it. It was an outside kind of like, and
God, they call it or whatever.
Right. So I just said, I don't care if someone postpones their event for 10 years. I really don't care. Like, we'll be there to do it underneath the circumstances that were booked at the time of booking. So I didn't realize like what I was putting myself in front of. Like, that was essentially like walking out with a blindfold in front of traffic, you know, in the middle of like, you know, the parkway on a summer day in New Jersey. Right. Like, I was like, just like walked literally
out there in Jersey. I don't know if you get
through a minefield of just mess. But, honestly, I think from handling things a certain way, it and having the relationships that we do with so many different people in our industry and with our couples. And, you know, it's like, I'm so grateful that, you know, the things that could have happened to us, you know, we really didn't happen. Out of all of the events that we've done, like, we've had to, you know, do some things that I probably wouldn't have normally done under any other circumstances, like return deposits or whatever. But we've also like solidified the relationship of why we're the go-to for so many different people, you know, by handling, you know, everyone's issues with incredible care and incredible kind of like understanding, even at like our own expense. And I think, you know, that's the difference to me of how someone will make it through a situation like we've all kind of encountered versus people that, you know, are going to struggle to build business as the world starts to heal, because they did the wrong thing by so many people. And enforcing your contract is not wrong, like, by any means. I mean, like, I've had numerous conversations with Brian because, you know, like, we talk a lot on different things. But, you know, like, he shared his contract with me, and I was like, holy, you know, whatever, I have to, like, update this. So, like, we literally changed everything. So, like, now we're protected if we ever had to, like, go the legal route or, like, stick to that. But I think, you know, this is a very unique circumstance, as everyone is aware, that no one really could have predicted or truly planned for. No, and like truly planned for being like, okay, like, you're gonna have to stop your business entirely for a year or plus, you know, a year and a half, and like, and just sit there and just hold on. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. I've worked harder for a lot less than I think I've ever worked in my entire life, and I've sat on the top of the mountains and looked around and been like, yo, this is insane. And then I've also, like, I know what it's like to dig in the trenches and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and like worry about how I'm gonna pay my bills like everybody else, you know what I mean? And this past year has totally humbled, I think, so many things for me personally, you know. And as Chris said earlier, like, it has made me truly appreciate the opportunity of what this world really is. And then, like, how grateful I am to, like, help someone execute something when you have that time, right? The weddings I've done recently, it's just so rewarding. And so, like, you know, I think I'm happier than the couples when they're there. I'm like, holy, you know, this. I'm like, wait, you want me to get that for you? I'm right over here. What's up? Like, cheese the whole time. Like, I just, you know, whatever. It's crazy.
I love that. And, yeah. You know, Rachel, with your kind of what you were talking about before, where so much of it comes from word of mouth, usually means that there's probably a connection to somebody else that knows somebody. I would imagine these conversations were even for you maybe a little difficult, because there might be more of a personal connection or somebody, you know, when you're just handling it one-on-one, you're a sole proprietor on your own. So how have you had to deal with the contracts?
100%. There was a lot of difficult conversations, and everyone was flying blind, right? I mean, for the first several months of this, nobody knew how to, like, move, how to navigate, what they could do, what they couldn't do, what was legal, what wasn't legal. And I think just the confusion kind of just made people pause. And then as people kind of started getting, like, panicked, and we were running out of toilet paper, and, like, you know, things just went, like, crazy, people really started, like, reprioritizing things, and these tough conversations just turned into, like, moments of empathy. And it just was like, all right, let's just hold the brakes, let's just reset. At the end of the day, how do we get this done and make it as magical for you as possible? And like what Jason was saying, I don't care if I have to do it in the next 20 years. Now, as a DJ, when you're making promises of that, you know, it's hard to anticipate, you know, what business costs are going to be and what schedule is going to be like. Or I don't even know if I'm going to be alive by the time you want to reschedule this, you know. But you just you do what you can with empathy. And, you know, back to the word of mouth and stuff. So, you know, perusing these DJ forums and people, you know, with the contract, and I get it. You have the right to enforce your contract. But to me, a 30 or 50% deposit of, you know, between 200, 500,000 bucks, for me to destroy a relationship with a potential vendor, with a potential, you know, photographer or a couple or, you know, a friend, it wasn't worth it. Like, let's work this out, and if we can't, I'm just going to do the right thing to support the people, and not make uncomfortable bad situations out of principle. Like, you had to be flexible. There was so much gray area and unknown, and you got to be in the moment, present and empathetic to the people, and just do what you can. So a lot of difficult conversations, but I have to say everything has worked itself out, and I'm a better business person for it. Full transparency, that's probably one of my weakest points, you know, as a DJ, is the business portion of it. I've always just kind of been in the tech and the music. So this made me grow up. I've matured a lot over 2020, and this kind of forced me to. So, you know, again, relooking at contracts, I think another big mistake that I saw is DJs so desperate to find out how to navigate this thing that they were perusing, you know, these DJ forums and stuff and taking little nuggets of advice and then implementing that without actually any like legal counsel or understanding like what actually goes on in their state, and just kind of grasping at straws and just making not good decisions based on being misinformed or ill-informed or just not really diving in deep enough, and they put themselves in a lot of bad situations. But it was just out of desperation. Who would have ever thought we would be dealing with this, right?
Right. Who would have? One thing I want to throw in there to piggyback off of what you just said, Rachel, because this is a particular topic that hits very close to what I think is important for anybody who's established a career in a creative field, as all of us have, and I'm sure plenty of the listeners and viewers of our show. In most cities, there is a legal resource for artists, most major cities at least. I live in Baltimore City, and in Maryland, there is the Maryland Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. I know DC has an equivalent thing, but most major cities have some sort of legal resource that if you can't afford to hire a lawyer and have somebody on retainer, you can at least have someone review a contract for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour, like for free, just to make sure you're covered. And these are the kind of things that as an experienced DJ that's fortunately been able to make a career over a decade of doing this, I learned out of having the bad stuff hit the runway a couple times. And I'm glad now that I know what I know. And I'm glad now that I have the ability to share my experiences, just like you were, Rachel, with like, hey, this is where I messed up. You should probably avoid this. I think all of us have a responsibility as experienced DJs to kind of give our position to and share our experience with younger people who might be able to avoid those pitfalls and just save themselves a lot of pain.
Well, and that is Sean, awesome. even as Brian and Jason were saying, sometimes it's not even about sharing it with the young DJ. These are two of the heavy hitters, and Jason's like, yo, my contract, like, there's things we take for granted, even when you get to a certain level that you say, hey, it's been working, you know, it's not broke, don't fix it. And then you realize that have a blind spot that could attack you. And, you know, we all have to sometimes, you know, be humbled in how we approach all these facets of the nuances of being a DJ and a business person. And, you know, we were talking about it before, but, you know, that's why DJing is one of the most exciting professions, because it constantly evolves and it constantly grows. And you're always going to be learning something, whether it's through the music side or technical side. There's never anybody that can say they fully mastered being a DJ. There's always something new. And that's what I think gravitates me to keeping going. And why Twitch was so fun, because it was a new thing. It was a new wrinkle, a new
shiny climb.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It allowed you to open up the playbook a little deeper, you know, and
read your contract, guys.
Yeah, read your contract.
If you didn't come out better from this, it was just such a missed opportunity because everyone was at home finding ways to, again, stay relevant, add value, all the meetings, the Zoom, the podcasts, like look at all the things, the content that came out of this. And if you weren't tuned in or dialed into that to like absorb from all like the free information and kindness and again great content that was getting pumped out because people finally had time, you really missed the boat on this. For as bad as 2020 was, there were still a lot of positives that you could pull out of it. And it'd be a shame if you didn't. There was just so much opportunity there.
Well, going back to the postponements and cancellations and how you guys have handled it, have you guys come up like with creative alternatives instead of like giving a demand, you know, giving a refund back? I know Brian was saying, you know, he changed his contract to being treated as an artist now, and you know, and you're paying, you know, not for the date, but for the artist, so we can work with you whenever. But have you guys pivot to like something like, I think Chris you were saying, like what were you saying earlier during our production meeting about
I had a couple that, you know, they had postponed like 3 times and then they ended up getting pregnant and having a baby and they're like, you know, we're not going to do a wedding now. And I was like, well, you know, I'll do a baby shower. And they were like, oh yeah, that's a great idea, cool. And like, you know, we don't have to get the venue necessarily that we were going to get and spend all the money in a wedding, but we can still have some people over and we can still do a fun party. And so, you know, there's other ways you can try to, you know, reinvent an event.
Or you can convince your client or customer to sell their wedding to another couple.
Sell their date.
You can sell all your vendors to another couple. Yeah.
Wait, guys, why don't you guys just get married?
Why don't you guys get married? That was a story last week. That was a story last week. There was like a bride that decided, you know what, I'm not going to have the wedding. And she already knows about the whole contract situation and non-refundable stuff. And she decided to sell her wedding to like another, you know, to sell the date, sell the venue, all the vendors to another couple.
You take that Washington hat and you flip it upside down. It's a nice M, you know, it's good for like Minnesota, like wherever you want to go. Like,
Montauk wedding, son. Montauk.
Oh, hold on. Flip it to the east side. What's up? You know?
Exactly.
I'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
Bill, that's amazing.
My wedding date's getting sold as an NFT.
NFT.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Time to get a deposit via Bitcoin or what is it? Dogecoin.
That is right. Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
We were wondering if any of you guys would take a deposit for a wedding or payment from one of your clients.
Has anyone
already done that?
In that currency? No.
Yeah. Anybody? Any takers?
But I was going to say, to Chris's point, I don't think I've ever had ever DJ'd a baby shower before until this pandemic, and I've done like 10, which is
wow. COVID babies.
What the hell am I doing?
Is that so the pivot funny for the year?
Yeah, I'm like, man, I got a new market now. All of a sudden,
Backbone here says he
lots
would take
babies coming out, man. So
a payment through Cash App, and I assume, and Cash App is one of the apps that allows you to send Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as gifts or payments.
Let us know how it works out, Backbone. I'm very curious.
Do you have to pay a fee for Cash App?
I think there's a small fee, yeah.
There's a small fee, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. We have we certainly have an interesting time of, you know, you could have, if you put one of your deposits, if you would have taken a 2019 deposit in Bitcoin, you'd be like, if you don't get married, it's okay. I'll just keep this deposit. I'll give you back your portion. I'm still going to have like 5 times.
We'll go buy 5 Teslas.
You're absolutely right, man.
It would be interesting. I tend to, you know, being that I have so many different things going on and I only run, my DJ business, and I just, I'll do subs for people. I don't tend to take big deposits. I like to, I'm old school. I like want the money like the day I do the gig. Like instead of like the, you know, you guys, Jason, you're running this big, big operation and those deposits keep the thing rolling. I've got lots of different tentacles out in the world. So it's like, for me, I want to get there and be like, cool, this is what I made. So I usually take a little less deposit, but after this, I feel like it's definitely changed my thought process to go at the industry standard of 50%. Now that's what most people do. I'm usually like, Rachel, I think I'm more like you. I'm nicer and I'll be like, you know, yeah, whatever you want to feel like paying, just pay the rest.
I'm that guy too. It's more for them. They like,
yeah, whatever you're comfortable.
I don't take big deposits. I
have this guy's ass locked down.
Yeah. I like little stuff, man. Some of the biggest events I've done, like, started with a $500 deposit. Like, literally, like, I think the world we're in right now is, like, if you try to, if it feels uncomfortable for people, this is, like, 101 stuff for me, right? Like, if it feels uncomfortable or overwhelming, like, they're going to bounce and go to someone else that is going to listen to them. And the world is an uncertain place right now. So I think one tip I would give anyone that's looking to like expand their business is like, allow people the ability to grow with you and earn their trust completely first, you know, because once they're in your world, you can kind of like grow that relationship and that contract or that service or that whatever, you know. And we only do a $500 deposit SE as long, cause I don't want to live, you know, technically you're not allowed to use that deposit until you execute the event. Like in the real, that was like a lesson I learned in COVID, because like we've always done that because it was just coming in. It wouldn't stop, you know, like I never thought the world would shut down, you know? So like, you know, like an accounting lesson that I learned is technically from a legal perspective, if you're executing a contract, you are supposed to put that money in like a safe tender account, right? It's supposed to be like in an escrow account until you execute that contract in its entirety. And that's when it should be deposited into an operations account that you would pay out whoever, and the balance would sit in that operations account. And that's like a 101 thing that like I never did, because no one I ever knew did that. You know what I mean? Like I never learned it that way, you know, like, so it was a very like hard lesson to learn, to like reset, you know, a multi-million dollar business that's always worked one way. And then like, oh my gosh, wait, what? Like if all these contracts get pulled, I owe how much money? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like a reality that like, you know, like I think you could ask Bri, like, I think I disappeared off the map for like 4 days. Cause I was like, what happens now? Like what do we really do? Like, and this was like around June, like everyone's like hitting me up like, yo, are you okay? Like what's going on? I was like, I was devastated, you know? And like, it's reality, right? Like who knew, you know? And like, I never saw that coming like that, you know? And it was like, thankfully, like,
did.
You know, but you know, it's a hard thing. So like for me,
wow.
I think you can take a big deposit if you have the ability to secure it, because like, you know, unless you structure your contract in a way where like, you know, you're charging them, part of your contract is, you know, the sales portion or the consulting portion. And part of it is like the planning portion. And then like a little bit of it is the execution of the event. It really depends how you spell it out, but there's a lot of things that you got to think about that, you know, we've had to adjust, right? Right. Just because of the world, but not to go on too much, but I think you guys get it.
No, man, that was a big nugget. I would guess that most DJs don't realize that fact that you just put out there into the world, that deposit is not technically yours yet. And
right,
and you know, guys are probably out paying rent with those deposits, and
a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, so I mean that's a big nugget from takeaway from people, and I'm sure there'll be some rewriting of contracts based on that. Mm-hmm. And saying this 50-pin deposit is going to for our meetings and our consultations and everything, and then my DJ part is this part of the contract. Is that's
I mean, hearing that from Jason, I mean, just for me alone, man, I'm like, you know, I've been good at having an escrow account for all the DJs that I booked out. you know, just like as far as like deposit, I keep, you know, I keep their portion in there for as long as I'm, but as far as like an escrow and getting to like an operating account, that's like something kind of new that I learned today. I probably should have just that on my own.
Back to the lawyer point. If you don't have a team with a lawyer on it, then get a lawyer. Actually, that reminds me, Michael, you just brought on some more members of your staff onto the Vibo team, correct?
Yeah, I did.
Can you talk about how that's kind of helped you evolve and what your capabilities are as like the head of the operation and branching out and growing over the course of the last year?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. We grew from when I moved here, we had one person and myself, and now we're 9 people.
So, nice. I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah, it's you kind of need specialists. So one person does the iPhone, one person does the Android, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So it's kind of a lesson in how to manage multitask, like just making sure everybody's doing their job and not doing everything yourself. So, yeah, and shout out to
for sure.
Sorry.
That's how we make that work here for sure.
Yeah,
it takes many time hands to get used make light work. Yeah.
Well, we've talked about like postponements and cancellations with, you know, our wedding professionals here, but like as far as like Vibo, have you had the challenge of like a lot of DJs like, you know, canceling their membership or, you know,
yeah, unfortunately we did. So like I think I'm in touch with a lot of people in this forum, and many of you that, you know, I also call people and ask questions and consult, and everybody just said the same. So I feel really thankful and blessed to have friends and DJs that work with me. Just saying, you know, everybody says the same thing. Just be kind and patient, and it's going to come back. And that's what everybody did, I think. And now slowly it's coming back. So we just took the hit. It was hard because we had another little bug, a big bug before the pandemic with YouTube. Whoever's with us long enough knows. And then we decided to build 2.0. It takes time to hire. So we spent like 4 or 5 months hiring people. The day we finished hiring, literally, the pandemic started. So then we fired and we're like, everybody on, you know, everybody get on the boat. Uh-oh. Whoop, 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 whoop. So we fired half the team.
Wow. Hey, guys, man,
fire on the boat, fire on the boat. Everyone evacuate.
Yeah. Cause, it's expensive to build software. So we had a lot of DJs had to take a short break, but they've also, you know, everybody's really been kind to each other. So, yeah. That's the biggest lesson for me. Just thank God that we're working with each other and everybody's been really, really mature and nice to each other within this whole crazy storm.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely learn people where they land in their, you know, their morals through this whole thing.
I could say just like a backstory. You know, we don't have thousands, but we have hundreds of DJs that use the software, and we lost a lot of people, more hundreds as well. And out of hundreds of DJs that had to take a pause, only one was an asshole. One out of seriously, like 99.5% of the people were so nice. That's crazy.
That's real good odds, man. And that speaks really a lot to the DJ community at large, because there's
you,
so much
was
of
that you
shared.
Asshole? Were you the asshole that one?
You were the one asshole.
Just kidding.
Yeah, man, we got to lean on each other, and the fact that we have a tight-knit DJ community and even being able to facilitate these kind of conversations, I think that speaks a lot to that point, Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to developers again, like you said, yeah. That's hard work. And awesome that you got a good team that's coming together.
Well, let's take a look, because we only have like maybe like 10 more minutes or so till we end this episode. But what are you guys looking forward to this year? Like, what are some of the changes that you've sort of like implemented for the coming year? As you know, like Rachel was saying, the floodgates have finally opened. You know. hopefully getting back to normal. As far as like performance wise or what else, Chris? Like as for this year, like performance wise and
production value. I know Jason
value. About
it. He's really boosting up a lot of their offerings and going to big scale and going big. How about what do you see, Rachel? What are you gonna?
Like, what are the trends? What are the trends yeah. that you guys are seeing? For the next
I'm like opposite, man. I'm scaling back. I just dropped a video 2 days ago about streamlining my ceremony system, cocktail hour system, where I'm literally using a Hercules Starlight coming down from a Roland 707M out of the back of a 30 Electro Voice 30M with an iPad. And that's it, baby. I'm set up in 5 minutes. Sounds great. That. Works good. Takes up like no room. I'm all about scaling back and just working with essentials that work great, sound great. Obviously, if I need more, you bring more. But I feel like me personally, I've gotten a little carried away with gear because I have so much and you want an excuse to use it. So you just bring more crap than you need. And you overcomplicate stuff. So I just wanted to like streamline, cut back. So I am super excited to be dropping that new ceremony setup that I spent like, 2 months kind of coming up with. I got 3D printed shelves. It's pretty dope. And I think the other thing that I'm looking forward, man, is this is probably going to be like a ridiculous statement. I'm probably going to regret that this is being recorded. But people have been cooped up for so long. I feel like a DJ could probably fart in the microphone and people would still party. So I am looking forward to some of the most hype dance floors you've ever had because people just want to party. So for any DJ who's like nervous for getting out there, I get it. You know, I do too, but it's a little excitement. But just do your thing. And if you've done even a quarter of your due diligence, like at least turned on the radio twice during the pandemic, like you're going to be fine. Like people want to party. So just enjoy the moment because I think we're going to see the most epic dance floors we've ever seen in a really long time.
Hey, that's awesome.
I feel you on that ceremony because like that's always been like a project of mine too. Like I've always like tried to keep everything in a sort of like packaged in the box and quick set of time. The thing that I've been trying to find out where I can find one is a one space rack mount mixer.
Mixing. Oh, board, I got you. I have one sitting right in front of me.
You? You serious?
There you go.
EQs? With EQs? That's like the hardest.
I don't have the one with EQs, but I can send you some things.
No, half racks. Gator makes like a carpeted half rack.
I have a half rack SM268 mixer in front of me on the table. That's what's going into my interface that you guys are hearing.
You know, I've been more and more interested in the sound recorders, like people who record sound on the open field. Like they have those
the test cams
that they strap around the bags. I've been more interested in figuring out some sort of weird setup with something like that.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
Man,
what's the trend you're seeing?
Trends?
Something that's going to be different for you or, you're giving your clients.
I think it's just the intentionality of, like, the moment, I guess. I know it seems kind of ethereal and kind of out there, but, like, to Rachel's point, people have been cooped up. These are, like, changing times, and I think it's just, like, we get to be the people who kind of be the conductor in those circumstances, and I'm just looking forward to being that, to try to, like, bring some joy. Like, for people who haven't had a chance to even, like, I was shocked. There was a wedding I did not too long ago, and literally, like, no one had been out. None of those folks. This is the first time they'd all been around more than, like, their family. You know what I mean? This whole pandemic. And so, like, I take that, like, with a huge responsibility. Like, I have to deliver, right? So, I guess what I'm looking forward to is all the work that I put in, And, like, being able to, like, execute on that and be able to say, like, hey, I wasn't just sitting around. Like, I was really, like, putting in the time to make this show as best as I can possibly bring it, So, yeah. I don't know. I think I'm looking forward to that. The trend thing, I don't know. I mean, there definitely has been more components of virtual being tied into the live event. So, like, I'm not riding that train, as far as, like, delivering that product. I'm letting that be other people that do that. But as far as there is that component.
You're going to call Jason and be like, I need your team.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. but yeah, there's like every event I've done, there's been a virtual side to it. And I think that's going to stay, to be honest with you. I think that people are going to be, hey, you know, I look forward to the day that the technology just continues to climb and like it'll be, I don't want to say as epic as a live event, but it'll get darn close. You know what I mean? With AI and all this other stuff that's coming out and 5G and all of this. It's like,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. Like, you never would have thought grandma would be on like Zoom. You know what I mean? But now she ain't ever going to leave. Right.
My grandma's
like, hey guys, grandma's here.
Yeah. So like, I think these tools that we've been like developing during this pandemic, like I still think they have a viability, you know, post COVID, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. So
grandma's going to start wearing VR glasses.
grandma's got an Oculus Rift.
My grandma's been tuning into Hall Pass. She's probably listening right now.
Shouts to grandma. Nice.
Suzanne
worked it in.
Hey Suzanne.
Right.
All right. What about you, Jason? What do you see as a trend for the next coming year for you and your team?
I think the way that the business is conducted is definitely going to be heavily influenced over the past year, meaning like virtual consultations, connecting with people via Zoom or yeah, whatever. I think from performance perspective, it's like ultra personalization and experiential entertainment. I feel like people want to see, they want to be part of something, but they also, in my world, people are investing in, creating more of a show than just a party. Like they want it to be all things because, you know, Aunt Brenda, who might not get crazy on the dance floor now because she could be at some type of health risk, you know, they want to make something cool. So like at least she's entertained while this whole party is going on rather than just putting people on the dance floor. So whether it's incorporating live acts or performers or like featured kind of things or media integration into an event or other things that are visual, I think that's part of it. I think from a business perspective for us, it's about efficiency. So like, I definitely appreciate what like Rachel had mentioned before. Like, I think working smarter and getting, you know, getting the most out of your energy and your time, I think that's super important. You know, like we're no longer focusing on services that, you know, we kind of just have always offered, right? Because it was like, oh, we started doing this like 10 years ago and hey, we're still selling this thing, but it no longer makes sense for the business. So like, that's no longer a thing for us, right? And looking at your system for your ceremony and, you know, like I charge good money, I feel like, for a ceremony service. So like in that, like, you know, everything's been totally upgraded. Everything's, you know, like put together in a way where it's like bulletproof and there's like redundancy built. Like we've thought through a lot of these things that we didn't really have the ability or the time maybe to focus on. So business, the way it works, performance, more about like experience. And then like, I guess operations is just like making yourself work the smartest, the most efficient way you possibly can with the tools you have, you know. Three nuggets for you, you know.
Lots of nuggets. There's so many other topics that we didn't even get to touch on, but we're gotta go do some like quick rapid fire topics and see where it goes. So we'll start with Rachel. What's the worst or best vendor meal you've had on a
It was like this dry ass crusty ham sandwich with like some hummus that was probably, I think it was even like mold on it. It was disgusting. Oh. There were like some rancid grapes. It was like four steps below a Lunchable. It was just,
it was disgusting. Where are you gigging? Oh my God.
It was so awful. And in terms of like the best, obviously we'll circle back to the pizza thing. I did a wedding for a couple that just had pizza trucks. They hired like yes, three of them, and they had like wood grilled smoke nice stuff, make your own thing, I've and it was the bomb. Mm. I think that was like the only cocktail hour that I didn't actually like actively DJ because I was just like, this is my time. I got to go to pizza truck. This is my moment.
Yeah. People never, you know, DJs always get shafted on when they eat. And it's like, you know, if I was a bass player, do you expect me to eat this meal while I'm playing my bass and you want me to like eat this meal at the DJ booth?
Yeah, like, wings. They give you wings.
Like, what are you doing?
Oh man, yeah, they give you wings. What the heck?
Brian, what about you? Any memorable ones?
Dude, you know, like, I don't really eat at those events, to be honest with you. So, like, I don't have a really good story. I wish I did.
I didn't eat it, but it was offered. Like,
yeah.
They just, like, slid this, like, crusty ham sandwich. I was like, oh, good.
Yeah, I just will say that there have been some unique, like, venues you wouldn't expect to give you, like a sandwich, you know, or, like the guests are eating this, like, five-star, you know, meal, and then, like, and we get the box meal, you're like...
The box meal, yeah.
Wow. I expected more, you know, from that venue. Yeah.
The union lunch.
Right? So that would be the only thing I could think of, but I can't remember one that I've ever had that has been, you know, terrible.
Michael?
I was listening to you guys trying to think, but I don't know.
Can you hear us in those headphones?
Oh, what? At least I can hear you now.
Yeah. He said, what?
You better get me a gig at the Pink Lady or else.
Russian lady.
So, I think a food story. I think the only thing I could think of, I started my career carrying equipment for this other guy that was doing all the good events, and I was his sidekick. All I was doing was eating the whole time. I can tell you a lot about venues and the food, but he's like, "Don't you want to listen to the music I'm playing?" I'm like, "Wait a minute, I'm eating."
I'm at the Venetian table, man.
Got to a point where he had to literally add me to the, you know, like add me as a guest count. Because yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I honestly don't really ever eat. I feel like I'm always so I bring my food most of the time, but there was one time where I forgot my little Yeti cooler and I was like so hungry and I was in this dungeon of a venue and like they're like, oh, there's food for everyone upstairs. I'm like, I don't really do, like, I'm gonna go eat. Wait, actually, I gotta eat. And my friend John, who is one of my guys, he's like, all right, I'm gonna go up there first. I'm gonna eat and I'm gonna come back. And he doesn't come back for like 20 minutes. I'm like, where the hell did this dude go? So he comes back and he's like, literally, like it looks like he got beat up. And he's like, you better go up there yourself and get your own.
Yo, food. You got a tooth kick.
I'm like, you get me something, bro? And he's like, no. He's like, just you go up there. It was like boiled hot dogs, like in a container that we were like left out. And I didn't eat it, but I walked in because I was dying. I was like, I never eat. I'm like, I'm starving. I got to eat something. And I walked in. I'm like, I thought there'd be like sandwiches. I don't know, maybe pasta. Whatever it was, it would have been fair game. It was like boiled hot dogs that were probably boiled like the day before and like put in this thing. It was
kept inside
it was
the
dirtiest dirty water.
Hot dog water.
So bad.
Disgust. I don't eat hot dogs in general, but it was like the smell when you walk in the room was like someone died in that room. It was disgusting. It was like, oh, killer. Disgusting.
Oh, it's like,
man. Oh, we go through sometimes.
That was the most validating thing ever, because after getting sandwiches of sadness and like smelling the hot dogs boiled and whatever over years of working in hotels, I just decided I'm going to bring lunch. And I did not know I was the only one who was bringing food just in case. So thank you guys for sharing your experience.
I like walk in. I'm like, and there's a lot of people I know that do that. Jeff, too. Like a lot of us at SCE will like go there prepared. Like, yeah, like I have my own source of water.
Got
like
a solid cooler, got a water bottle. Yeah.
In Jersey, like you run the, you know, like you run the spectrum as to like what town or city you're in as to how even that water is going to be. Like you're putting yourself at risk. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, crazy. We think about it all.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to end the show in that note, like with hot dog water. But
great job, Jen.
Before we go, let's have each of you plug in what you got going on. Plug in your podcast, your websites, your socials, everything you got going on. Starting with you, Michael.
So anyone that wants to learn more, we have a group called Vibo DJs, and we have a website, VibodJ.com, and you can join even if you're not a member yet to just kind of get a feeling of the community. And we'd love to have anyone that wants to up their planning game. So at VibodJ on Instagram as well. learning how to market slowly but surely.
Nice. Rachel?
All right, so definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel if you haven't already. You know, now that things are opening up, I'm going to be posting a lot more content. Super excited about that. So literally just type in DJ Rachel in YouTube. Big blonde head. There we are. I've been posting a lot of dope stuff on Mixcloud because I'm on those weekly mix shows with radio stuff. So if you can't actually tune into the show, I always repost those. Fridays and Saturdays, I am jamming. I always post my schedule. So you can just check me out on Facebook. Everything is literally at DJ Rachel Lynch, from Instagram, Facebook, business page, YouTube, all of that. Love to have some of you tune in. The biggest show is on Saturdays on Hits 101. I do a wake up shake up. It's actually like a rated show, so I need people to tune in so I don't get fired. So that'd be pretty solid. And that's it, man. I just hit me up. And any questions about Vibo, any other tech gadgets, like, I'm your girl. Nice. So that's it.
Awesome, awesome. Brian.
Yeah, so all the platforms, DJ Brian B Official is the best place to catch me. And I also have, like I said, a podcast I do regularly. So that one's called The Travel DJ Blend. You can find that on Instagram and Spotify, all the different places that it posts. Those two things would be great ways to connect. Love to connect with people.
Great content on there too, man. Really enjoy that.
Thank you, bro.
That podcast. A lot of really, really great conversations and people on there.
Yeah, Chris, promote your episode.
He brought it, dude. It was funny. He brought it that week, that's for sure.
And finally, Jason.
Yeah, you can find me kind of all over. I guess if you just go to jasonjeni.info, you can link to whatever you want to find me. I'm kind of like a little bit of everywhere. I started putting up some more content on YouTube as of a couple months ago. And
I've been watching it, by the way. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I try to put a lot into, like, you know, sharing some stuff to help people grow that want to grow, or just things I've learned along my journey doing what I do as a business owner and a DJ performing all over. And I have a radio, like a mix show that's done and syndicated a bunch of different platforms, edits on DMS, Instagram, you know, Mixcloud, whatever, either Jason Jeni or SCE Event Group, kind of everywhere. So, you know, whatever. If I'm not linked, I'd love to link with you guys or whoever for that matter.
Yes, yes. All right, once again, give it up one more time for our special guests, Jason Jeni, DJ Brian B, DJ Rachel, and Michael Mahler, Vibo DJ. Thank you again for coming through. We definitely appreciate it. As always, to everybody tuning in to the show on Twitch, please stay in the chat. We're going to pay it forward and raid into another DJ's channel. So once our show goes off the air, stay put and wait for the raid. I want to ask the guests, like, do you guys have anybody that we should raid into tonight? Like any of your
raid guys,
who homies, fam.
Yeah,
let's bring this gang over to there to that party. If we, you know,
Heavy's on and Audio One is doing something. I don't know who's on. It's Boom Bap, right? So he's got his
Boom Bap.
Audio One is dope. Or Heavy's good. Yep.
Big shout out to DJ Audio One, by the way. He's still recovering from. You know, from the stroke, but like you can definitely help him out by, you know, either donating to his PayPal or buying his merch. You know, he's got some great merch that you can, you know, buy and support. So DJ Audio One. So do we want
to
raid?
Yeah, let's go to Audio One.
Yeah, let's show some love to Audio One, man.
He's a good bro. He's a good brother. DMS family, definitely. Right there.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast with us too.
Oh yeah, he's family to us. So.
Oh yeah.
So again, folks, if you miss any of our episodes, you can watch our past shows on facebook.com/beatrefinery or youtube.com/beatrefinery. If you prefer to listen to the audio side of things, this episode will be uploaded this Thursday to Apple, Spotify, wherever you consume and listen to all things podcast. Make sure to click like, comment, subscribe. The next episode of the 9 to 9 will be back next month, June 7th, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the day. But yeah, but definitely everybody come back. Again, to the Beat Refinery Twitch channel, twitch.tv/beatrefinery, and tune in with us every Monday, 9 p.m. East Coast time, whether we do our mini mix Mondays or our live music playlist shows or the 9 to 9. Also on Fridays, we do Hall Pass Fridays. That's our Twitch raid train that we do for the channel. So that's from 12 to 6 p.m. East Coast time.
Yeah, Jason, when are you going to jump on?
Yeah, yeah, we gotta get you on there.
I need an invite, bro. Come on, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Definitely, we'll have all you guys in there.
Let me know whenever. I'm always there. If I can get there, I'm on. Whatever.
So once again, guys, thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody, say peace.
Peace.
Rating audio one. Peace.